This appreciation of everything that there is from a standpoint of full awareness without judgment, that one can call unconditional love.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
Love. What is love? In today's episode, we will try to explore what is love. We have Bear here with us. Welcome, Bear, to Voices of the One Mind. Happy to have you again here. And definitely my first question will be, what is love?
Thank you for having me for another episode. What is love? That's a very big question. I think it's a question that actually it's not so big the question, because I think and that's the point that I want to come to. Humanity is not really, or humans are not really going deeper into what love is. They use this word love when they feel an affection for someone, and the deeper the affection, the more they use the word love.
What's the difference between affection and love then?
Well, an affection is if I feel attracted to something. If I feel attracted to something, and this attraction creates a certain, I would say, bonding, right? Without giving now a notion or a judgment of bonding, whether good or bad. And this kind of affection we call love. And hence humans have this notion, not just the expression, of naming everything that is in affection and calling, oh, I love it. I mean, it can go from a quite deep affection expression from a mother to the child, I love you, to you go in a store in the United States and they say, oh, I love it, or you know, you know, in America, these words are thrown away like very easily, you know. And now, if we want to explore what like true love is, we have to get a little bit deeper and get some get a deeper understanding of love expressed when the heart is fully open, what that means.
See? Absolutely.
And when we talk about this feeling, right? Because I don't want to judge the word love, whether this is good or bad, if you tell it to your girlfriend or if you tell it, you know, I love that ice cream. I want to go more into the aspect that people are don't fall so much for using this word. I love things. And subconsciously, everything that is loved out of a condition. You see, the human being comes to the understanding, to the full integration of love, meaning love being truly unconditional. And what does that really mean?
Yeah, let's give an example.
And here I have to touch a quite interesting topic, because a mother says to the child, "I love you," mm-hmm. but also this is conditional love.
How?
It's a conditional love, because the moment
the kid is doing something that the mother doesn't like.
Exactly. All of a sudden, this love transforms into anger, or this love transforms into you know, getting loud with the child and shouting at the child, and that's definitely not love anymore. How do we measure what's love, right? How else can we measure love other than the frequency that the heart perceives?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. The intensity.
We cannot sit here and talk about love, and this love is the right love, and this love is not the right love, and this is so conditional, and this is unconditional. This is a philosophy that would end up in a philosophical discussion.
Yeah.
The only way to really determine love,
mm-hmm.
and I will go deeper into that point, is what does my heart feel when someone else expresses something?
Mm-hmm.
What does my heart feel if I express this love to someone else?
Mm-hmm.
If I share this space of my heart with someone else?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this vibration is the determination if it is true love, truly meant love, an open love that has absolutely no condition,
mm-hmm.
or if it is either an affection or some kind of love that is expressed to achieve something, to get something.
Mm-hmm.
And
so in your practical example with the mother, the condition that you are referring is basically little things that a kid is doing to change the state of the mother, from affection to angriness to, right? These are the conditions, like maybe he is exploring in the house and he's doing a big mess, and then the mother is becoming a bit
angry,
loud with the kids, right?
Exactly. And what I want to say, the mother would now say, yes, just because I shout with the child, it doesn't mean that I don't love the child. Well, my question would be, feel the vibration when you shout. Mm-hmm. Is that an expression of love? No, it's not. Hence, the love spoken is conditional.
And do you think a mother can, in this example, right, can answer with love in that situation, like by not becoming angry, or how would that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, love is the language that, if expressed, even non-verbally.
Mm-hmm.
One can feel if a person is sitting even in a cafe and is, has his heart completely open, or her heart completely open, and is full of love, the whole coffee shop can feel that radiation. So love is something that I would even dare to state the following: the moment I feel the need to express the love verbally, I'm already lost.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because I'm already going into concepts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
While an expressed love through just being and literally emanating that energy of love, you know, that frequency of love, or showing love through deeds, through service, is love that sustainable love, is a love that is very impactful. Hence why this topic with love is so important, because you could say, well, it doesn't really matter which words people use. Is that people put themselves subliminally on a wrong track, because, you know, I love you so much, or I love you so much, I love you so much. By the end of the day, you do so much in action against that what you express, that actually you fool yourself by staying in some kind of a belief system that you do something, or that you live something that you are not actually living.
What it takes for a person to feel this unconditional love? What was the journey to be able to be in that, if I'm thinking now at your example with the mother, and I know that, of course, they love their kid, and but what would it take? What's the journey that she needs to follow in order for the mother to answer with that peaceful or in another tone of voice, let's say?
We have been talking in another episode about, we have touched the topic of the ego, the me and I consciousness. Everything always comes from that point, mm-hmm. You see? If this understanding didn't come, if this awakening of the realization didn't come, there is always an ego. So the mother wants something else than the child wants in mm-hmm. that very moment, mm-hmm. and hence there is a conflict, and hence this conflict is somehow expressed, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
But who can express the conflict? Only the ego can express the conflict, because the ego wants to achieve something, or wants to get something, or wants to have peace now, or wants to be this and that, right? And to answer the question, what can I do, is the realization, you know, to realize that, give up this ego aspect.
So just reflect.
Just reflect. And now mothers might say, but well, you know, when I come now in a practical, when I come home from work and I'm so tired and I'm so exhausted, and then the child, you know, wants this and that, and the child cries, or the child is loud and shouts and wants to play. You know, obviously also the reflection, well, is that not something, what you would say, natural, that when the child meets the mother after 12 hours being in public institutions, and finally the two of them meet, that the child is actually, through these actions, kind of seeking the attention, which the child doesn't get, and so the child is obviously trying to catch the attention in already, I would say, in a way that is not very beneficial, by shouting very loud, by doing things, throwing things around, or whatever, or just let's say being nasty, in order just to catch that attention. And that, from the perspective of the child, is already these degrees of deterioration of creating strongly this human ego also as the child, you see. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a very interesting dynamic and a very interesting play between mother and child, for example. However, the mother, in this example, is the more mature part of it. So it is on the mother to open the heart space. See, if people tell me, well, but I have the right to also be exhausted, and I have the right to have all my peace. Yes, you have all the right. However, nobody forces you to have a stressful job, to come home in the evening exhausted, and to have a child. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. So I have seen very many families where this love was expressed in very beautiful examples. No matter how much the child was crying, no matter how nasty that child was to achieve what it wanted, nasty, yeah. You know, the mother or the father, they were just an open heart, and many times not even talking. Many times just caressing the child and holding it to the heart, and all of a sudden the child is like, you know.
Beautiful.
I mean, recently there have been so many tests. If you have a child, even a baby or a toddler, but a baby, let's say, who is crying very, very hard, mm-hmm. and you play the singing bowl, mm-hmm. within 5 seconds, the child has a smile on the face and is completely quiet. Sound is something that comes with love, and very unconditionally, and you know, a being, a very, let's say, unspoiled and fresh and clear being, like a child, like a baby, can feel the truth of that frequency. You see, mm-hmm. and a child can very, very much feel also the truth of the mother when she says, I love you, or I do this, if it's meant, or if it's just said from a perspective of the mother. And it's a very tough topic, because many mothers out there will fight me or argue to say, well, I mean, it's natural that we love our child. No, it's not. It's natural that you believe you love your child. And this love has to be kind of really questioned and looked at which kind of expression it truly is. Hence, there is this very beautiful expression of the, I don't know if you're familiar with the expression fish love.
What is fish love?
Well, it's a very nice metaphoric. I would not even say it's a metaphoric, but it stands as an example for what conditional love is. Like you have a fisherman sitting on a lake, and he's fishing there, and next to him he has a basket, and this basket contains already some fish that he caught, and a Zen monk mm-hmm. is walking by and on his walk, and he sees that fisherman and the basket, and he looks into the basket and sees some dead fish in there, and he says, "Ah, okay, you're fishing," to the fisherman, "and you're successful," and so on and so on. The fisherman turns around, looks at him, fishing is really the greatest thing for me, and I love fish. Mm-hmm. And the monk looks at him and looks at the dead fish and says, "Ah, exactly, because you love the fish, that's why you kill them." Right? And this metaphorical or example is a few thousand years old, this fish love. It's not something new now. I want to very clearly state that, because now some vegans might come to the idea that this touches the topic, okay, you don't kill life, you should mm-hmm. become vegan and don't kill a fish. Of course, it's going in that direction, but the point more is you love something and in the same moment you kill that what you love, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And when we say killing, of course, a couple in a relationship, that when they express that they love each other, they are not killing each other. However, they are killing in many, many conversations, in many, many fights, they are killing the spirit of the relationship.
And diminished, right?
Absolutely.
That means that we are not speaking about an unconditional love.
We are not speaking about an unconditional love, and to live unconditional love throughout my earth walk of over good 50 years that I walk this planet, I have to say I have met less than five people that I can count on one hand that were truly, where I would say are truly able to express and live this unconditional love.
Well, what could look in a relationship, this conditional love, like partners are saying to each other, "Yeah, I love you, but I don't like this, and this, and this," right? And you should embrace every single aspect, or how do you deal with that?
Just in practical language, if we want to really very precise in phonetics, then we should not say, "I love you, but you should change this and this." Huh. We should say, "I like you." Right?
Okay.
And
yeah.
I like this and this on you, but I don't like this and this, you see? Let's put it that way. But here we would need to go deeper, you know.
Where
here again the ego is expressing, you know, "I want you to change," you see? Mm-hmm. "I want you to change. And if you change, I express love towards you." Or at least I call it that way. And we mix up things like emotions with feelings.
Oh.
This is... also a very interesting topic that fits into
what
that,
we call love, yeah.
Exactly, what we call love. Then true feelings is something very valuable. And a true feeling of grief, for example, a true feeling of pain, a true feeling of appreciation of something, that's very valuable. And that's places where very great energy is set free, where a lot of medicine and healing comes through, mm-hmm. which stands in complete opposite to emotions. Emotions is something of the ego mind that better should not even exist. And people will say, "Is this guy crazy saying we should not have emotions?" And here is the point. I say, make a very clear distinction between feeling and emotion, right? And I will say that feeling is the natural thing. Feeling is the expression, the deep expression of the human aggregate. While an emotion is a very superficial, momentarily reaction to something.
Like?
I can be emotional all of a sudden because I see something, and all of a sudden I go like, oh, you know, and I burst out in tears. But this is not tears coming from a deep feeling. It's an emotion towards something where some little film plays into the brain where I start to connect this to some past life, to some past experience, and I express this emotion or
something that is triggered internally.
Exactly.
Could be. No?
Could be.
In a situation with.
Exactly. Outbursts.
Disagreement with someone, then you can have you can trigger something inside you, and then you go into. You express yourself.
So outbursts are emotions. And you can have outbursts in all directions. You can all of a sudden have an outburst of a huge laughter. Mm-hmm. And again, here the difference with a huge laughter at the moment, it's not the deep feeling of joy.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And it can be an outburst of anger. You see? This leads people to live practically, and here's the tricky point, to live in an illusionary feeling of love, and let's say thinking that what they do all day long, creating their own little story, their own little film, their own little movie, hence creating through these movies a lot of, you know, detrimental energies and happening around them and around the people that they are living with. This is something where each human being on this earth walk can really practice betterment.
Yeah, so they open that space for this type of feeling.
Because how many times do we find each other in situations as human beings that you know, when you are in a relationship with somebody, you say, I love you so much, I love you, I love you, and everything is nice and everything is good, and there come some dark clouds, you know, along, and it starts to rain, and all of a sudden there is a huge fight and people express a lot of anger.
They are shooting.
And shooting out weird words and expressing. How does, in what relation does this stand with the love that is expressed?
Mm-hmm.
You see? It's at the best, again, some liking, you know. Love is something completely different. Love is an emanate, and is a state that is constantly there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, love is not something that comes and goes. It's not something that changes. You see,
mm-hmm.
Love is there. Love is there. And once I dwell and live in this love, in this open heart space, there is no other way, you know.
Thank you very much. Many people around me, they are mentioning about self-love and the actions they are doing for self-love. And I would like to explore with you the distinction between self-love and what it means to say I love myself and the love of self.
I would put it that way. Self-love, first of all, is a term that is used very much in psychology and in motivational new age, the new age world, motivational coaches and in therapies and stuff like this.
Do a self-love ritual.
Self-love ritual, self-love therapy, self-love evening, a self-love day, self-love. Yes. And what does that mean? I will come to the point, what is the difference between that and love of self? Let's stick with the self-love. What does that mean in the first place? It means that there are humans that have a hard time to express an appreciation to the outside. And that meaning with fellow human beings and with the world that surrounds you. And that starts always within,
mm-hmm.
So within, so without, as within, so without, meaning the appreciation for this being that is in creation. And we have to make a very clear distinction between the ego and the appreciation of the being. Something that is then addressed in this expression of self-love, practically be in full appreciation of that being, or come closer to this appreciation of that being. And as I said, this is not only an expression, but also a methodology that is used in psychology and in motivational coaching.
Sounds a bit selfish when you say self-love.
Well, I would not say it sounds selfish. It is, from a non-dual perspective, the question, who is loving whom?
Mm.
See? That would be the big question. And that leads us to the
love of self.
To the love of self. The self-love. Who is the lover and who is the beloved?
Mm-hmm.
You see? And there we have a distinction. Meaning, from an absolute perspective, this idea of self-love doesn't exist because it's an idea of separation. Self-love is referred to in a very simplistic way, that people say, oh, I have a self-love day. For example, today I go all day to the spa and I have a beautiful day and I will treat myself in a restaurant with very good food, or I book myself a weekend and I practice self-love.
See? Okay, but why is this always something external? Why do you need to show it by going to the spa?
Well, let's say what people want to express with that is saying, yeah, I do something good for this self.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there is nothing wrong about that, absolutely. However, it is a very separative perception. From an absolute perspective, this self doesn't exist in relation to another self.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to do with the integration of what truly is the self. And as I said before, who is the lover and who is the beloved? From that perspective. And when we talk about love of self is the expression of, I mentioned it in one of our episodes of the Voices of the One Mind, Anatta Sentient Bindu is talking about the concept of CDIUCL, Cosmic Divine Infinite Unconditional Compassionate Love. This is the love that was emanated with the sound Om together with the energy of expansion. So the entire universes are built up out of CDIUCL with the aim of expanding, with the aim of reaching out and touching everything, and from that point expand into integrating, living and emanating this
what we call love, real love, true love.
True love, yes, true love.
Authentic, let's put it like that.
This appreciation of everything that there is from a standpoint of full awareness without judgment. That one can call unconditional love. Without judgment and without the notion wanting to change what I perceive. The moment you want to change something that you perceive, whether it's the behavior of a human being or whatever, you're far away from CDIUCL, from the unconditional love. And the love of self is when a being is awakened, has integrated the aspect, has become from a egocentric to a fully universal consciousness. Egocentric consciousness to a fully universal consciousness, and has integrated, has opened the heart in a way that the CDIUCL can fully penetrate into that heart, and hence the being is able to exchange that living light, what I call living light, in a reciprocal way back to the universe. And so then this being is a fully integrated being. When this being is able to fully reciprocally receive and exchange living light with everything that there is. There is no such a thing as dead light, as people speak about dead light. It's only trapped light, but it's another topic, trapped light versus living light.
Can one dissolve emotions of anger into love?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When there is the integration, when there is the realization of self, mm-hmm. we've been talking about it in another episode. When that integration has happened, mm-hmm. and the self is fully realized, or for a big part realized, is there ever a full realization? See, here's a big question. I would say yes. There is ever a full realization. It is when a being comes to the point that a being can say, "I don't know." That then the full realization has happened.
You see? What's happening actually when you answer, or when you don't know what?
It means you have completely dissolved. Yeah, you have completely dissolved.
Oh, okay.
You have completely dissolved any notion of ego that has an answer to everything.
It's not coming from your cognitive
mind. No, it's not coming from it's penetrating through the being. Mm-hmm. Everything that then is emanated is fully is penetrating literally from the universal force of the one mind through the being.
In that moment you are open to, if I understand correctly, to receive any answer that is aligned with what you will need to know. Right? Because let's say I'm asking you something and you say I don't know, mm-hmm. but then in the same time you are open.
Absolutely, and that is the point. If I know, then it's the I that knows, the brain that has stored information. Mm-hmm. See, if I'm able to have that openness, you see, to come from an honest standpoint to say I don't know.
Honest and love.
Honest, yeah. I'm open to express universal knowing, which has no notion of any egocentric aspect.
Aspect, yeah.
And when that happens, then one can talk about love of self. Love of self is the full integration of the Kivya UCL, the cosmic, divine, infinite, unconditional, compassionate love, which then from that being is, as I explained before, in the form of living light, full living light, emanated back into the universe as a complete round cycle. The love of self is also a state where the being has had this integration that the being itself is everything that there is. The being itself is the observer. Mm-hmm. It's the audience. It's the storyteller. It's the director of the film. It's the blank screen. And if the being comes to such a realization, one understands that self-love, I would say, is like a little bit, I don't know if it's precisely a good metaphoric, but it's a little bit like trying to fix, to remedy some little illness. You know, like a doctor that would tell you, take this pill and then it's good, without looking what the cause is. Mm-hmm. And to screw a little bit here and do a little bit there on self-love and make a few programs and rituals and do all these things, will eventually only soothe the ego, mm-hmm. yet not lead to liberation. Mm-hmm. Liberation can only come to realization of the self.
Thank you very much, Per. It was a beautiful episode about love, about the distinction between love of self and self-love. It was a pleasure to have you here again. Appreciate
it. Very welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.